I feel kind of bad, you know, Anthony, trying to talk about these questions. I'm not going to give you the full shebang, I suppose. I'll try to, but these are, again, these are just thoughts. This is what I would have said if I'd have been sitting in somebody's living room couch and or eating a hamburger at the restaurant or ribs at Tony Roma's or 15 sloppy joes at a church potluck or something. You know, the potlucks where people actually talk about Bible stuff. Oh, wait a minute. That doesn't happen. We always talked about farming and the 2x4s and how many concrete slabs you got and how much money, you know, this kind of prideful stuff. That's all the men ever talked about. But, who we got there? Patience, okay, and Brian, Peter, okay, Bill. Okay. This is kind of how I would flip out some verses to find out if we were talking about some of these issues. But I feel kind of strange about it because I feel like it should say who wrote this question so we know who to give the credit to. But I won't. The person that's out there that listens to this will know who he or she it or he or she is. I don't hear from any its that I know of. Okay, got that one running. I got that running. I think I'll turn that way. That'll help a little bit. Here we go. So here's the question tonight. This is the person that said they were trying to think of some questions, and as they did, they started to answer their own questions, so that was a good thing. Then they write, you can reiterate how we are supposed to serve God without a church. Obviously, these are people that are Paul following, and I know this family. They've been this way a long time, and the man, when I first met him a number of years ago, I realized he came down to help in California. I realized this is a guy that really does live like a Paul man should live as far as his walk goes and helping other people and, you know, that kind of a thing, and that was good. It was very exciting to meet somebody like that. But this question was asking, how are we supposed to serve God? We don't have a church. And they don't have a church. We don't have a church. Most of you don't have a church. Some of you that are going to listen to this at a later time, you have a church, and you're frustrated as all get out with the church. What's being preached, the direction it's going, you're not happy with it. And it's not because you want it to go your way. You know it is not going biblically. You know it's just a social club expanding more and more. You know that the church out there, that most everybody is going towards Acts chapter 2. So let's look at Acts chapter 2, which we've already been there. Nothing new tonight. Just kind of help us. These are questions that people are asking. How do we serve God? We don't have a church. Well, there is a biblical design for a church, no doubt about it. It is God's will that we would have a church to attend. But how many times in history have the people that have stuck with the truth amongst all the tortures, all the tribulation going on, all the different hassles going on, do they have a church to go to? We're not promised a church. We have a design for the brethren to get together. And I know that if you do a study on the word brother or brethren, there's a tremendous number of things that we're supposed to be doing for each other, to help each other. So we're missing that. We're void of the brethren. You can email all you want, but we can't get the fellowship. We can't get the shoulder to cry on. We can't get the rejoicing together like we can if we're together. But to be honest with you, in all the years I've been in a church, that stuff very seldom ever took place. There's something about Christians, when they get a hold of this Bible, I think it's demonic. I think the devil just goes after us. Gets us to gossip, gets us to complain, gets us to grump, gets us to be jealous, gets us to be prideful, gets us to think, well, we have the King James Bible, we have the truth, and God will bless me if I do right, so it must be that you think you're doing right because you're getting God's blessings, you know, or whatever. And we get very conceited about all that kind of stuff. We're a mess. The brethren are a mess. And we know that Paul talks about loving the brethren. We need to love the brethren. It's important. But we also know that in 1 John that it's important in the tribulation. You have to love the brethren or you're no longer saved. That's one of the issues where if you have a hatefulness toward any of the brethren, you're living in darkness. You're not saved again. That's one of the ways of losing salvation, that tribulation. So all these preachers take these messages from all these verses from the book for the tribulation, and they start putting that on us. We're supposed to love each other in spite of all the problems we have because we're clean on the inside, but on the outside it's terrible. But just put up with it and love each other and blah, 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 blah. You know, that's that, again, comes up that golden rule thing. No. Paul tells us in Thessalonians that if the brethren, aren't walking in Paul's way, you should avoid them and withdraw from them. But you mind, they're not our enemy. We're supposed to stay away from them. That's Scripture. So with what's going on in the churches today, we actually, unless you got a unique one, you shouldn't be in one if you're following Paul. Doesn't mean you can't have one, but it also means that you're not going to find one. So if we're looking at Romans, if we're looking at Romans chapter 11, for example, about the goodness of God, when the goodness of God is the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, then he's going to cut the nation, the Gentile nation off. Well, as we're getting closer and closer to that point, and people don't want to hear about Paul and Paul's ways and the goodness of God, which is the only place you get that is from Paul. As people get away from that, your church is going to get away from that. So why hang around a place that's putting poison on the table? Okay, so then that brings up our question, what do we do without a church? How do we serve God without a church? Well, I got some thoughts here. Let's look at this thing here tonight. It's hard. And yet, if, like I said, most churches are getting all dirty anyway. It isn't as hard as you think, but you get you get tired of going to church and having the old ways, the old flesh, bashing each other. And the reason we're doing that is because we go to church. We go to church for the wrong reason. And we've gone to church for the wrong reason for years. Acts chapter 2, here we go. Now, by now, you should have your Bible marked. You should be able to know where to go when somebody's talking about their church. That if they're having such a great time in their church, not just what's being fed to them that changes their lives and gives them strength, encouragement, et cetera, et cetera. You can see people dressing differently and talking differently, not because of the legalistic way of Paul's preaching, because Paul's preaching is not legalistic at all. But this is what pleases God. When the mother's home with the kids, when the mother's there for the husband, when the mother's not working, when the man is doing his job as a man, when the on the list goes in Timothy and Titus, sober and grave and shamefaced, the whole thing. If you don't see that taking place in your church, somebody's not preaching the right stuff. In fact, I got to find that verse because I never can remember it here. Hang on, let me go to my instant finder here. I have such a lousy memory here. Ways and church. There we go. 1 Corinthians 4:17. For this cause have I sent to you Timotheus, who is my beloved son, obviously spiritual son, and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So our churches are supposed to be not only teaching Paul's teachings, but they're supposed to be teaching Paul's ways. That's Timothy and Titus. Not in the Baptistic fashion that if you got a divorce, you can't preach. That's a bunch of baloney. But if your kids are rotten, then you shouldn't be pastoring. But they ignore that one. And those are the kids when they're in your home. I don't believe that's when they're outside your home. Because kids grow up and do their own stupid things. Trust me on that one. But if you can't take care of your home from during the time you have a home, then how are you going to take care of a church? That's what he says in Timothy. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. There's a lot of truth to that. I didn't teach my family the ways of Paul. I taught them the Baptistic ways. I got the Baptistic ways from church. And I taught my church the Baptistic ways. And when I got into the Paul stuff, there was a bunch of joy for a long time until we got into the ways of Paul. And nobody wants to hear the ways of Paul. So when the question is asked, how are we supposed to serve God without a church? Just remember, there should be a church. But you can't stay in one just so you can stay in one. We are addicted to church. We are addicted to the brethren if we can get something out of them. Okay, Acts chapter 2. Here's what's going on in churches. And this is everywhere. I know Paul churches that are going back to this way. Why? Because this breeds success. This breeds money. This breeds people in your church building, which makes the pastor feel better, gets his bills paid, and tells everybody, see, what we're doing here is great, isn't it? That's pride. As compared to, boy, how come nobody, you know, people come up and say, well, how you doing, preacher? Oh, I'm doing fine. How many people you got in your church now? Well, we're down 3. Oh, hey, all right, you must be telling them the truth. Or we don't get that. Here we go. Early church, Acts chapter 2. This is from Peter. Peter is the apostle to the circumcision, not to the Gentiles. And this is the time of the Great Commission, going out into the world to get the people to turn to Christ by looking to the Jews. This is involved a baptism and the whole spiel, water baptism. Because it says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission. Remission? I don't want remission. I want them gone. Okay, and if they do that, it says in verse 38, they'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Okay, here we go. 41. Here's what's going on with these churches. They that gladly received this word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them, about 3,000 souls. Oh, great. I wish this could happen in my church. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, mark your Bible if you haven't got it marked yet. This is what's going on. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We don't want to follow the apostles' doctrine. We're told to follow Paul. Apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, there's your communion, and in prayers. Power of prayer, pray together, pray around the flagpole, the fire pole, the totem pole, or whatever, you know. And fear came upon every soul. There you go, preacher. Put the power of God's fear on them, you know. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. In other words, if you don't do what I say, I'm an apostle and God can kill you or your children or whatever. All that believed were together. Well, yeah, you would think so. And all things common. Wouldn't that be nice if we were all together? Well, we were on Sunday mornings and Sunday nights. I mean, really, together. I can't help my experiences in the church. It was like we were never together. This person over here hates this person because of this, and the women, I tell you, so horribly out of control in churches. But the bad thing about it is the men that let them. This question was asked to me like this. How are we supposed to serve God without a church? So are you serving God when you go to church tonight or Sunday morning or Wednesday night? Or are we going for our own social benefit? Keep going. Verse 45. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Oh, we skipped that one. We just have to tell everybody what we bought for our possessions and our goods, our sudoos and skidoos and boodoos and all the fancy threads we have, you know, and everybody pulls up in their 27 diesel Dodge rig, you know, and everybody's got to show off their cars. You got these Cadillacs sitting out in front of this poor little church, you know, that's just struggling to keep the bills going. You know, then you get, then I won't go anywhere, okay. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Now, doesn't the pastor put the grief on the people for not being unified and in one accord? Got one lady sitting over there with her clothes, like, what's the point of buying them? You got some other guy over there sitting there wearing what he's doing, and got these other people doing what they do at night. They go out to these rolls. You got some people drinking and smoking and partying and racing and going to shows. They ought not be going, and truck rallies. I mean, you name the stuff. How can we be in unity with that? You don't want to do that stuff. How can we be in unity with these people? Continuing daily with one accord in the temple. Are you kidding? And breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. This sounds so euphoric. Sounds so nice. Oh, you know, we got America. This is America where we can go to. There's a church on every corner in the east, especially. Churches back there got church, and if it's four churches on the intersection, all over the place, parking lots, the whole spiel. First, and a lot of them are First Baptist Church. How can you all have so many First Baptist churches? Why didn't somebody have the first? We're the 96th. We're the 140th. We're the 932nd Baptist Church. Where's that coming around? But anyway. And did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church. Well, there you go. There's where you want to go to. No, that isn't where you want to go to. But that's where people are going to. And how are we going to tell them otherwise? How do you serve God then if you can't go to these churches? Well, go to Ephesians chapter 4. You know the comparison is Ephesians chapter 4. Surely you can tell somebody about that. Surely you're willing to tell somebody. No surely's out there, by the way. Just surely. Surely you're willing to tell somebody that the church they're going to, not just any of your business, but if it involves you, you don't want to go to a church that's being geared on Acts chapter 2. It's a false church. It's a false gospel that's being taught. It's wrong division, and it's leading towards ungodliness. So obviously your children and your family will not be led to the truth. But it's in the, yes, it's in the Bible, but it's not written, it's not in our dispensation. It's not in our time. Well, I can understand this. Well, whatever. But you need to stay out of it. Because we know in Acts chapter, in Ephesians chapter 4, here's the purpose of the church. Here's what the, here's the design of the church. Verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints. It doesn't say winning the lost. It says for the perfecting of the saints. That's where you go to get fed. That's where you go to get more complete. That's where when Paul says to help us with our joy. That's where Paul says to help us, help perfect us where we're weak in our faith. Did you come out of church stronger or wronger? That's good. I like that. Did you come out of your church doors stronger or wronger? I'll put that as a title. I've got to put that in somewhere. I like stuff like that. Anyway, stronger or wronger? Anyway, if you're going to come out of there wronger, you need to get out of that church and stay there no longer. Uh-oh, here we go. And so far, I know. Stop it. Sober, be sober-minded. Okay. Stay there no longer. Okay, stay there no longer. But as soon as you make that kind of a decision, you got your wife after you. You got the kids after you because they love Sunday school, usually. Get to make all these things, and the music is exciting, and they get to study about little penguins, you know, or monsters from the garden, got vegetables that talk, and they get to watch all these kind of things, so they enjoy stuff like that, you know. No, this isn't what we're talking about here. For the perfecting of the saints, not shoving them aside and trying to change the church so the lost people can come in there from the community. Says for the work of the ministry. Okay, there's where you minister. There's where you get out there. There's a ministry involved here. For the edifying of the body of Christ. There it is again. So you've got the perfecting of the saints, and you've got the edifying of the body of Christ. Two out of three. Then you have the work of the ministry, and you want to tell people about the Lord and da-da-da-da. Whatever it is that you're going to do. Give people stuff, whatever you want to do within your ministry. And you're going to be ministering to somebody. How do you minister to a lost person except with the truth? Then you take the truth out to the community, and they're going to come flock into your church. No, they're not. Well, then let's drop the truth. Let's quit teaching ourselves, our selfish little selves. Let's quit edifying our body of Christ. Let's quit trying to perfect us. Let's go out and win the lost at any cost. And that's where it's going. Well, the reason people are coming to churches now is not because they're winning them to the Lord. They've gone so worldly that people are having a hard time. They know something's wrong. So we can go to this church that is just like us, and we feel so comfortable there. And we have such good fellowship there, and the music really gets me fired up. And Devils has a good time. I was looking at a music thing for the coming Christmas season, which is just, Pastor, I despise Christmas season because some love it, some hate it, the whole ball of wax there, the whole nine yards, as they say. And this is a musical for churches called The Light of Christmas. You know, The Light of Christmas is not the true light. It's not Jesus Christ. It's the light, it's the angel of light. And I say that because, see, the churches don't know that anymore. The churches have come so far, gone down so far, that all this kind of stuff is now accepted in our churches. So what do you do when you want to get out of that church? How do you serve God? That was the basic question. How do you serve God? So now we saw the purpose of the church. Why do you go to church? What's the point? Why do you go to church? If you're still a church goer, I know some of you are out there, why do you go there? Well, you have no choice. It's not your decision. That's understandable. But what about those of you that can make the decision? What about you fathers that you know it's nothing but frustration? There's no peace involved. It's just a frustrating thing. Well, you don't know how to, you know what? We don't know how to live without a church. We're addicted to church going. Let's look here at, I got a bunch of different verses here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. We'll just look at some verses now that tell us some things here. Church is important. No doubt about it. Ephesians chapter 3. We're all turning into our Ephesians chapter 3, I imagine, out there. I can't hear or see anything, but I probably wouldn't want to. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 8. I think that's an 8. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles this unsearchable riches of Christ. We go back to verse 7, and we see that Paul is the minister. Paul is our minister. Okay? He's our minister. And verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. To the intent, I already said that one, according to the eternal purpose which you purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So the church really can know some things today. It's either from Paul, we got a King James Bible. This King James Bible tells us so many things that we can learn. So what? How does this come up? Paul is our minister. He's our minister? What do you mean, our minister? Well, let's go to Ephesians. No, we did that one. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Let's look at the church. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, what's it, the church, with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Can you imagine, on a husband-wife basis, the man trying to keep his wife clean, dressed clean, talking clean, acting clean, so she has no spot or wrinkle, and she's that good Christian lady? That's what Christ does to the church. And it says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, I got to thinking about that today. You know, I think about the woman thing, and they hate what they look like. They're always, you know, I imagine Twiggy thought she was fat back in the 60s or whenever that was, 80s or 70s or whatever. And they want to paint it and fix it and all this kind of stuff, you know. But the men, it seems to me that, you know, really, in all reality, we hate our flesh. We hate the flesh as a creature. We hate the flesh, like Paul said. But he says here that men don't hate the flesh. We like it. And we want to, we're tough. We're macho. We got the shoulders. We got the chest. We got the hair. We got the muscles, kind of stuff, you know. And it says no man ever hateth his own flesh. I mean, you see fat old guys in Speedos. Now, that doesn't that say something, that this guy is either he is blind and stupid or he still thinks he's cool? So a man will nourish and cherish his own flesh, even as the Lord the church. The Lord loves his church. He wants to take care of that church. And then he says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. There's the church. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Man is in love with himself. Just watch. No, you go to church, watch how the men come into the door. We're here. I'm the king of my family. I'm the guy. You know. Although, we know that this is turning the tables. Daniel chapter 11 tells us that the Antichrist is turning this stuff around. The woman's the one with the proud look. It's a woman that's got the strength of the family and the leadership and the guidance. I've been there, done that. So things are a mess. But just keep in mind that the church is the body of Christ. Paul does talk about churches. There are various local assemblies, plural, churches. But there's also, he's always referring to himself as the church, the body of Christ. That's which we are part of. Okay, so with that in mind, we take what his design of the body of Christ is to him, and we try to pattern a local church after that thing. That's what we're trying to do. But it's a mess. Okay? We go to Amos chapter 8, I think it is, Amos chapter 8, and we know that this stuff is falling apart and the word of God is not going to be heard. And these churches much longer, if it is anywhere anyway. Amos chapter 8. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. So they can't find the word of the Lord. Well, that's supposed to be in the churches. Okay, so this is a good question. What do you do when you can't go to a church? For the perfecting of the saints is not taking place. For the edifying is not taking place. For the ministry is wrong. And you're trying to build a church, you're trying to change your church so lost people would be interested. What do you do about that? I get the feeling that that's probably one of the hardest things for us Bible Paul guys to do. Because we have to be careful that we don't just leave a church for the sake of leaving a church. A church is scriptural. It's scriptural to have a church. And there's a design how to have it, and it has its purpose. But who's going to drive 100 miles for one? 200 miles? 300 miles? 50 miles? Okay, so that's legitimate. But if you just don't like the pastor, if you don't like the pastor preaching about Paul all the time, and you don't like to hear that kind of preaching, you need to stay there. But that doesn't happen, that I can think of. Let's go to let's go here to Romans chapter 8. Now, part of the question that was asked here, how are we supposed to serve God without a church? Does God only look upon our outward appearance and behavior? Do we have to tell others of the risen Christ to serve God? These are three questions that kind of break this. This is one series of questions that kind of pertain to each other here. Okay, how am I going to serve God without a church? Does God see me not going to church? Does he see me not witnessing to people? Do I have to tell others about the risen Christ? How can I do that if I don't have a church? Well, there's our first problem. We leave it up to the pastor and the church to do that, which is not the case. Look at Romans chapter 8. Is that what I said? Romans 8:10? Okay, Romans 8:10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. Okay, so our body is dead. So what does Christ see when he looks at us? We have a dead body. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness, his righteousness. So we're alive because of the Spirit of God, with his righteousness, not ours. And we've got churches feeding people the body, feeding the body, the flesh. And the flesh is dead. Look at a biblical, what do they call it, biblical counseling sermon. All churches, all the preachers do nowadays is trying to get you to do better in your flesh, trying to let you walk a better walk. No, Paul tells us to change. Let the old man die and walk in the newness of life, of which Christ gives us from this King James Bible through Paul's teaching, the things that we can do. And what does Christ see? Look at Romans chapter 2. People have a hard time with this one. We know we come to the realization here that, checking the time, we come to the realization here that Paul, God doesn't see what's on the inside of us. He's already taken care of that. He's cleaned that up. He's imputed to us his righteousness. Okay, what about this outside stuff? What about our behavior? So that question is asked because we are so used to God, the threat of God from a preacher, that if your outside is bad, God's going to whack on you. No, he says right here in Romans chapter 2, after thy hardness and impenitent, verse 5, after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. There will come a day where all the works that people do will be presented to God. That's the outside appearance. That's the stuff we're doing. Now, for a Christian, we got the judgment seat of Christ coming up. So does God see what we do on the outside? I imagine. I don't see why he wouldn't. But he's going to deal with it at the judgment seat of Christ. He's not going to deal with it now. You will not get Paul's chastising or his dealing with us other than through the Scriptures and talking to us, you know, being admonished and rebuked and that kind of corrected and instructed in righteousness. Sure, he's going to. Of course, he's going to see what we're doing. But he's not going to deal with it. He's already dealt with the inside, and Christ will deal with it on the outside at the judgment seat of Christ. Right? So, why do we worry? Well, we've been taught to think God's going to get us. And now that we know God isn't going to get us until the judgment seat of Christ, and then that is just, all he's going to do is get our works. What's the first thing people ask? Well, then can you just go out there and sin and party? No, Paul says, God forbid. But Paul also says, but we're going to because we have such lousy flesh. Sin is still in us. And God doesn't stop us from anything other than through him telling us in the words. And the judgment seat will clean up what we did, if it was right, if it was wrong. And so because God appears to not be there, then Christians think they get away with everything. And after a while, they don't think God even exists. Doesn't seem right. Because you got these guys preaching about movies and dress. And okay, if God doesn't look at the outward appearance, what do you care what you show off, ladies? What do you care that you're the head CEO of Pizza House? What do you care if you do a better job at work than your husband does? What do you care, man, if you do a better job in the home than the wife does? You're a better mother. Well, God's design tells us through Paul that that stuff's going to burn up in the judgment seat. That's all. Have at it. Be the best vacuumer in the world. Have a great time, home dad, but you're going to pay for it in the judgment seat. Ladies, have a great time. Pop on those pants, put on those t-shirts, and get those muscles sticking out of those sleeves up there. And, you know, it used to be that the ladies would hang, you know, lady arms out of those sleeves. I don't know how else to put this. You know, lady arms, you know what I mean? And so then they started to wear these shoulder pads. The lesbians got the shoulder pad style to come in, so the ladies look tough. And now what do we have? We have ladies who are tough. They do have the muscles up. They do have the broad shoulders. They don't need football pads to wear in their blouses. That's natural muscle. And look at the guys. You know, we could play train on our guts. We got such big guts over stuff. And let her do the work. That's what she wants to do. And you're out there riding your toys and, you know, it's a mess. But see, the stuff that you're doing a good job, is it what God wants you to do? Well, you find out at the judgment seat. Or you can read your Bible and check out with Paul and find out if you're doing the right thing. I'll say it again. And I know people have to work. I know the world is a mess, and who has to work to get money and all this kind of stuff. If you've got children home and the mom and dads are working, then just, you know, all you got to do is don't whine when the kids go sour. That's all. Because you know they're going to. But I still, to this day, I like to ask ladies. I asked my superintendent recently, you know, why do you take on man's curse? What do you mean? Well, the curse for the woman is a painful childbirth and all that stuff that comes with it. What a curse. I mean, you just, what a curse. Ladies, how can you go off to war 3 weeks out of the month? I mean, this is a curse. You don't see us guys wishing we could do that. We don't see us guys wishing we could take a week off and complain about cramps and stuff. So what is it you ladies doing out there trying to get after this job stuff? That's man's curse. I know what it is. I've heard ladies tell me it is easier to go to work than it is to be a good mother and a good wife. You'd rather work for some guy giving him coffee or just working for him. Maybe you could be the boss someday, or working for some lady. It's easier than being a mother, a good mother. Anybody can have kids, but to be a good mother and a good father, tough stuff. So that's where the judgment seat comes in. God sees what you're doing. God knows you're out of the house. God knows you're dressing like you're dressing. God knows us men aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. God knows our weapons are put away to protect our family. But the judgment seat is when it's going to be dealt with. Then lastly here, do we have to tell others of the risen Christ to serve God? Well, if you don't have church, the church got you to do that. Now it's not in church again. Because the rest of this question was, I remember going door to door knocking every Saturday, and if we didn't go, it was a guilt fest on Sunday morning in the preaching. He'd even make those who went out stand up in our seats. I was always busy doing. No wonder I didn't have any energy come Monday morning after being out for hours on Saturday and teaching Sunday school, etc., etc. That's what the church does to us. It's supposed to be our witness. It's supposed to bring lost people into the church. That's why we're so fizzled out in church. That's not the point. We touched on that this evening. So let's look here at classic verses. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So we have to tell others about this. Don't have a church to go to. How are we going to tell anybody else? 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Well, here's an example. And you became followers of us. If we're following Paul and his writings, we can say this, okay? We became followers of us and of the Lord. I like how he says it, and of the Lord, because that's still what we're doing. We're still following the Lord, not just Paul. And in much assurance. Having received the word in much affliction. Okay, so there's that problem. We don't want to have that, but we will. With joy of the Holy Ghost. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, so he still told people, but also in every place your faith to God word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. If you're serving the living and true God, you don't have to go to church to do that. In fact, today, you go to church, chances are you're not serving the living and true God. You're more likely serving the Antichrist, serving the devil, and false God. The music is wrong. The preaching is wrong. The way people dress is wrong. The way people behave when church is over, it's wrong. The short sermon, the 45-minute song session, the 45-minute concert, that's wrong. The money spent on the building, the fountains, the parking lots, the luxuries, as such. That's not serving the living and true God in that church. And then he says, verse 10, this is where we are today. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So we're supposed to be waiting for the Lord, serving him and serving the true God. You can't do that in church. How do you do it outside the church? Well, look at verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had unto you. People saw that you changed. You don't have to go preaching about it. They just saw that you changed. I don't drink. I don't watch TV. Okay, tell people. People will notice that. I want to go to the movies? No, I don't do that. Well, we don't. So many people say, I just don't feel good. It upsets my stomach or whatever. We just don't want to. We're ashamed of Paul and Jesus Christ. I know we still are. No, it's wrong. I don't want to do that. It's wrong. Try that sometime for an answer to somebody. But anyway, if we go to Philemon, let's go to Philemon. Verse 6, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. In other words, it has some effect behind it. It's real. People see it. The results come of that thing. By the knowledge of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How do we serve God? We change our lives. Our life. Nobody else's. Our own life. And what's going on in that church is supposed to be getting you to change your life. Not get somebody else. Not changing your life you have lower standards. So people can come to your church now. Let's change your music. I'm sorry, I don't play music like that. Well, why not? Look at the people that are going to come. Okay, so you quit. Somebody comes along and plays this rock music. You know what's going to happen? The church is going to grow. And you're going to look stupid. Because I told you, if you get rid of that music. First Bible Baptist Church in New York, when they told me to get out of there because of the music thing, I was holding the music back. As soon as we got out of that thing and the music stepped in there and went crazy, that church has grown and grown and grown. As far as those people are concerned, very successful. I was holding back growth. Now I was holding back false gospel. I was holding back lies by trying to keep that music going clean. Churches are a mess. We don't have to have a church to serve God. We serve God by changing our lives. We know that He looks on our outward appearance and our behavior, but He won't deal with it until the judgment seat of Christ. And how do we tell others of the risen Christ? We change our lives and they see it. What are the verses of it? I think that's about it. There's a good comparison in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you know, the body of Christ. We're all members of the body. We're different members, but we're still in the one body. That's there, so the standard is set for the local church. The less, least esteemed, all that sort of, that's all in there. So yeah, the church is a scriptural thing. But when it goes sour, Paul tells us in 1 Thessalonians 3 to get out of there. Second Thessalonians 3, I think it would be a second. Yeah, Second Thessalonians. Every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us, for he behaved not ourselves disorderly among you, neither we any man's bread chargeable and sample. They walk among you disorderly. He says, obey not our word by this epistle. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, that's Paul's writings, then it says, note that man and have no company with him. And isn't it an amazing thing when somebody who gets bumped out of church, which I've been through, and all the people still hang around that person? And it happens to this day. People that are bad within that church family still hang around, and everybody just goes up and they just love them because they want to be there for them in their time of grieving. No, we're not supposed to do that. That's the golden rule. When you get all messed up, you want people to come and hold your hand and, you know, well, sure we do. But you got to make the thing right when you make that switch over. Anyway, so how are we supposed to serve God? You've got a Bible. Paul's our minister. You can read that Bible for the perfecting of yourself. You can read that Bible for the edifying of the body of Christ, of which we're all part of. The local assembly is just a earthly design. You can go to it if you want, but Paul does tell you to get out of there if it's not truth that's being preached and the truth is Paul's ways. And as far as God seeing us on the outward appearance, sure He does. But it doesn't change His fellowship with us. It doesn't change our fellowship with Him unless we quit reading that Bible. And He'll deal with it when the time comes at the judgment seat. Just like the lost people. He doesn't even deal with them right now. He doesn't. He doesn't hammer on them any more than anybody else. Because He'll deal with them at the white throne judgment. That's Romans chapter 2. To go door knocking? How many people come to your door looking horrible? They look just like the world. Or they sure don't want, you sure don't want to have what they look like they have. Romans chapter 11. The Jews should want what Christianity has. Jews should want what we have through Paul. And not only do we change our outward appearance, we change our inward life as well. Our joy, our love, proper love. Our joy, our peace. People will see that stuff. They won't just see the dress that you're wearing. They'll see that you have peace about it when you're amongst the crowd that nobody else has it. Or are you losing your peace? Are they getting to you? What do you do now that you didn't do a year ago? What level of change have you done? Are we serving the living God? Or are we being tripped up by the false god? We still have brethren. We still have email. We still have phone calls. We still have a way of helping and talking to each other the best that we can. It could be worse. And it will be. What if you can't afford email? What if you can't afford a computer? What if you can't afford a cell phone? And you got nobody to talk to. Your family hates you. You can't get a job. So the job you have just takes all the energy you've got. What if you're a woman and you don't want to do the stuff that modern women are doing? What if your family hates you? What if you got nobody? Are we ready for that? We have a Bible. And I'm sorry to say, most of us probably couldn't handle it. I still got my associations. I still got you folks out there that encourage me to keep going. If I didn't think anybody was listening, but I do this, I say I would do it because I want the truth to be preached no matter what. But boy, it would get hard. I'm not stupid. I know that I would have a hard time with that. What if I know some of you people out there that are hanging in there would finally give up and quit, go the way of the modern church world? That's where Paul comes in with the tears. Realizes it was all in vain. Not for him, but for them. It's going to get tougher. I think those of us that have gotten out of the church realize we weren't being fed. We weren't being encouraged. We weren't being perfected. We weren't being edified. We were being taught wrong. And when they brought in the lost people, we were not comfortable, and we weren't supposed to be comfortable. And they told us, come on, where's your grace? No, they don't belong in here. I have grace for them, but they don't belong in here. My kids are learning the wrong stuff in our own church. That's the folly of religion. And Acts chapter 19 tells me to hate it, despise it. And I do. I despise the local church today. I don't despise church the way God wants it to be. But most local churches, I despise them. And I don't want to see anybody out, I don't want to hear about anybody out there going to one. I know you're going, some of you have to, you have no choice, and you can't get out. But if you make a choice to go to one, that'll be pretty shameful to me and to you. And you will not be serving the living God. And that's exactly what Paul makes us do, is to serve the living God. You'll be serving the false God. And you got a Bible. You can serve God with your Bible. And you can tell other people by your life, not just by your mouth, making those right decisions. Anyway, there you go.